If you find your place in Psalm 147, that's where we'll be. As you think back over this week, think about what does the ice storm, the earthquake, and the Olympics have in common? Well, they all occurred during the same week as one. But also, they all call for a response. You know, they all prompted a response. So if you're watching the Olympics and you see, you know, Team USA beat Russia in hockey, yeah, you're excited, you're surprised, you're, you know, happy. But then when you heard about the ice storm coming in, you thought, well, I don't know about that. I don't know how that's going to work out. Maybe it'll be nice and pretty, which it was. If you went outside, you saw the trees coated with ice. If people would drive by, and, you know, this huge oak tree outside the house here across the street from the church, just massive, strong tree. Actually, it had very few limbs dropped out of that tree. This is a very strong tree. So it held the ice well. People would drive by, stop their cars, take pictures of the tree because it was beautiful. But at the same time, there was great power in that ice. And as it weighed these trees down, you know, there was fear that creeped in. And, you know, when the earth shook a little bit, some thought it was just maybe a large truck driving by the house. But no, it was something more than that. And so there was fear that creeped in. And I want to just talk about that response for just a moment, this idea of fear. You know, when you're sitting in your home, when we were sitting in the house across the street, and the power was out, it was dark, it was quiet, and then all you could hear was cracking of the limbs, trees falling, transformers exploding all over the neighborhood. I mean, there's a sense in which there's a fear that comes upon us all, because we've been confronted with a power that is uncertain, unpredictable, and uncontrollable. You know, you knew the ice was coming, but you couldn't stop it. And then once it got here, you could do nothing about it. You couldn't just go outside and just make it melt. I mean, it had to run its course. You know, you had no control. Or when you were sitting there and you felt the house start to shake a little bit, you couldn't do anything about it. It was a force beyond you. And so we experience fear and uncertainty. And I think fear is actually an appropriate response to unpredictable, uncontrollable power. And I think that's a good response, actually, because it causes you to be very cautious and not run around the neighborhood at midnight when there's ice on the trees. And so fear is a response I think we've all experienced. And when we come in contact with those types of uncontrollable, unpredictable powers, we are also reminded of our powerlessness and our lack of control that we actually have over the world around us. And I want you to think about this. You know, when you were faced with the power of the ice or the power of the earthquake, how did you respond? And, you know, our responses can be seen in our words, our speech, and how we talk about things. They can be seen, our responses can be seen in our posture, and how we react to things, and they can also be seen in our actions, how we respond to these different things. Tell a lot about us and how we are doing in the midst of these different trials and storms of life, you might say. And for some of you, fear and uncertainty was accompanied by trust. It was accompanied by peace. It was accompanied by even praise for some of you, even though the fear and the uncertainty was present. And, you know, there was a song that came out not too long ago. It was released not too long ago by a band named Casting Crowns. And the chorus goes something like this. He says, you know, I'll praise you in the storm. He says, I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. Every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in this storm. And this song captures the idea of fear. We experience fear, uncertainty in the midst of different situations. But accompanied with that, we also can experience great trust and peace and even praise, even in the midst of the fear. And so what I want to talk about this morning is how do we How do we praise God in the midst of fear and uncertainty? When the storms do come, whether they be physical storms or the storms of life, how do you praise God in the midst of that? And I think the first thing that we need to realize if we're going to praise God in the midst of the storms of life is that we have to realize there's a power behind the power. Look with me at Psalm 147. And I want you to take note here how the psalmist talks about God's power in creation. And I want us to consider this question. You know, how does the power of God relate to power lines and people? How does God's power relate to power lines or the weather? And then how does God's power relate to people? Look at verse 16 with me. The psalmist says that God gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. And so when you read that, you think, well, that's an interesting picture that the psalmist is painting there with his words. And I think what you need to see here is that the psalmist clearly understands there are processes at work within the world, but ultimately God is behind them all. In other words, there are powers at work in the world, but there's a power behind the power, and that's the power of God. And what the biblical writers, not only the psalmist, but other biblical writers in different books of the Bible, they talk about these, what I'll call the secondary forces. And then it'll talk about God being the primary force. Let me give you an example. In verse 14, the psalmist says that he makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. Okay? Now, we all know that the psalmist understands something about wheat. In other words, in order to get wheat, you have to plow the field and plant the seed. Wheat that just doesn't just sprout out of nowhere. I mean, you have to plow the field, plant the seed, and then the seed has to grow to produce the wheat. And I'm sure the psalmist understands that, okay? However, he talks about God giving his people the wheat. And so he's referring to, you know, not only the secondary forces that are at work, the person that plows and plants, the rain that waters, the sun that shines, but ultimately he says there's a power behind the power, and that is that God gives those things. God is sovereignly over these secondary forces. He's the one in whom all power resides, and all the power of the world is a derivative of his power. So he is the power behind the power. And this is why Jesus could say in Matthew 5:45, he says that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So Jesus pictures, you know, God as being the one who's primarily responsible for allowing the sun to rise on us. And then the Apostle Paul in Acts 14, he tells the people in Lystra that God did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. So the Apostle Paul recognizes, obviously Paul understands that there's a process that needs to happen for, you know, plants to grow and produce fruit, and you have to cook the food, eat it, to be glad, and different things like that. He understands those secondary forces, but ultimately he says that God is the one who has allowed that to come to pass. He's this power behind the power. And I think what we need to see here is if we are going to be people that have trust, peace, and we can even praise God in the midst of difficulty, especially, then we have to realize that the power of God is behind the power of the elements. You know, there's one who is sovereign over the world. However, you know, knowing that God is powerful is not going to call forth trust and peace or prompt you to praise. That's not going to work out. Just because God has the power doesn't mean that you're going to experience peace or you're going to respond in praise. Because remember, the response to unpredictable and uncontrollable power is fear. That's usually how we respond to power like that. And so if you consider the power of God and the holiness of God, and then you recognize your powerlessness and your sinfulness, in other words, you recognize how in your life you've rebelled against God, then when you look at a God like that, your initial response could be one of fear. You know, we fear a limb cracking or the earth moving a little bit. How much more would we fear a God who is holy and who has the power that's beyond all the power that we've experienced even this week? And so the only way for you and I to experience trust and peace and even respond in a praise to God in the midst of difficulty is if we know that God's power has been channeled for your good. See, if you know that, that changes your perspective and that changes the way you relate to God. Listen to what the psalmist says in verse 1. He says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting." Now, why is a song of praise fitting? Well, the reason the song of praise is fitting is because the psalmist recognizes that God has channeled his power in order to save people. Your God has channeled his power in a way that enables us to come to know him and to know that he has our best interests in mind and that he's working on our behalf. Listen to verses 2 and 3. The psalmist says, "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds." He goes on to say in verses 10 and 11 that his delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Did you catch that? He says, God takes pleasure in those who fear him, which is a proper response when you see or even catch a glimpse of the power of God and the holiness of God. So God takes pleasure in the fact that we fear him, but at the same time, the psalmist says, God takes pleasure in those who hope in his steadfast love. See, if you didn't see the love of God, all you would have is a fear of God. Just like you feared those limbs cracking, and you feared when the earth began to shake because there's a power there beyond your control. And so when you look at God who is behind all things, and the creator of all things, and you recognize his holiness, his perfection, and you look at yourself and you know that you're not like that, and you've even turned against that God, your response is fear. But then once you realize that he's a God of love, now hope begins to blossom in the midst of that fear. And so what we see here in the psalm is that God is not only is powerful, but he's personal. He's concerned with people so much that he's channeled his power in a way that saves us. And the Apostle Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And so what Paul says here is that if you see the gospel, if you know what the gospel is, it is the power of God. It is how the power of God has been channeled to people in a way that saves them. Or the way you experience salvation, the way you've experienced rescuing, redemption. And so this sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, to die our death so that we can live his life, this gospel message about who Christ is and what he's done on our behalf, that is the conduit for the power of God to be applied to your life in a way that puts you in a right relationship with him. And so on the one hand, when you look at the power of God, there is reverence and awe and fear. But when you see the love of God demonstrated through the giving of his Son, now there's hope. Now there's trust. Now there's peace that can be experienced, and even praise can be called forth as we understand the power of God and the gospel. And this is why we can praise God in the storm. Even though your lights go out, you know, limbs fall, roofs have holes in them, you know, things are uncomfortable, things are uncertain, yet you can still trust God, experience peace with God, and even praise God. Because you realize His power is not only present to change the weather, but the power there in the gospel is there to change you, to change your heart, to change your relationship to Him. And so, the question is, how are we praising God in the present? You know, some of us still are, you know, there's difficulty, there's challenges ahead. There are several that aren't here with us even today because they don't have power. Trees are blocking their roads. How are we going to respond to God in the present? How are we going to praise God even in the pleasure and in the pain? One of the things I love about the Psalms is as you read the Psalms, whether he's going through pleasure and blessing or he's going through difficulty and pain, one thing that he does is something that we can all do, and that is he goes to God in prayer. He takes his grievances and he takes his gratitude, whichever one he's feeling at that moment, he takes them to God in prayer. And the Psalms are great ways to read through and see how that's done. And what we see is the psalmist, he'll take questions to God. How? Why? When? Where? He takes his questions to God in prayer. So whether we're experiencing blessing or pain, we can take our questions to the Lord in prayer. And I encourage you even to read the Psalms. And I believe the Psalms can give words to your feelings. You know, they can help you take your prayers to the Lord in a way that can maybe capture some of the things that you may be even dealing with, even this week as you have experienced these storms that has come through Augusta. So we can praise God in our prayer. Another way that we can praise God is that we can praise Him in our speech. You know, in the midst of our circumstances, our words are like paint. And as we take them and as we speak them, it's like taking paint and put it on a canvas and we create a picture. And that picture ultimately shows people around us who or what we're trusting in. And so even in our conversation and how we use our words when we experience the uncertainties of life, our words can paint a picture of who are we trusting in. And so even as you think about this week, think about your words, the conversations you've had. You know, have your words painted a picture that your trust is in God? Yes, there's fear. Yes, there's uncertainty. Yes, there's discomfort. But my trust is in God. That's why Paul can say in Colossians 3:17, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So we can praise God in our prayers as we go through different trials and storms. We can praise God in our words, and we can also praise God in our deeds. So one of the best ways to display our trust in God is by acting out that trust. And I want to just give you a few ways that this can be done. This is how we can act out our trust in the Lord. The way we can act out our trust is not only by speaking, you know, in our speech, but also through our sharing and through our serving. Because when we share what we have, for example, maybe you invited your neighbors over to your house to share your heat. Or maybe you shared a cup of coffee with someone. Or maybe you shared information. But somehow you shared with your neighbors, your friends, or your coworkers. When you do that, when you share what you have, what you're showing your neighbors is, my trust is not primarily in the fact that I have this much food or this much heat or whatever it may be or in my possessions, but my trust is in the Lord. And therefore, I can open up my hands and I can share what I have with you. And so sharing is a great way to act out our trust. Sharing our resources, sharing what we have. Another way we can act out our trust in God is through serving others. You know, when we serve our neighbors, we're giving them a beautiful picture of Christ. Christ said, I came to serve, not to be served. And I'm not saying that we should not be served, right? I mean, you were happy when the electrical company came and restored your power. I like being served in that way, and you do too, and that's fine. But there's a posture of, not one of entitlement, that what can you do for me? But there's a posture in the life of the Christian that says, because of what Christ has done for me, what can I do for you? What can I do to help you? How can I serve you? And so when the storm hits, for example, when the ice storm hit, as a Christian, we should be thinking, how can I serve those around me? Not just, how can I serve myself? You know, Paul says it this way in Philippians 2. He says, you know, do not look out for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. It's not that you totally forsake your own interests, but it's in addition to your interests, let's look out for the interest of other people. Why? Because that's what Christ did. That's the attitude in Christ. And so if we are going to show Christ to the world, we want to not only speak words that demonstrate our trust and share our possessions of what we have, but we also want to serve. And that gives them a great picture of who Christ is. And so as we, you know, catch a glimpse of the power of God, which we've done even this past week, when you see the power of the weather and what it can do, or the earth shaking, or whatever it may be, just a great, unpredictable, uncontrollable power that you're faced with, you catch a glimpse of the power of God, who has the power behind the power. But then when you see how that power has been channeled through the gospel, through Jesus Christ, and if you have faith in Christ, if He's your Lord and Savior, then you have this ability to not only experience fear and uncertainty, which everyone does in the midst of difficulty, but you have this ability to experience peace with God, trust, and even respond in praise. And so as we experience the power of the gospel in our own lives, even this week, you know, let us seek to be conduits of that power to our neighbors through our speech, through our sharing, and through our serving. Let us pray. God, we come to you this morning recognizing that we can't explain all of the secondary forces and all the things that happen. But Lord, we do know, based on your word, that you created the heavens and the earth. And your power is a power that's behind all power, and that you're sovereign. And that you're not only powerful, but you love us, that you're good, and you've made a way for us to know you through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we as your people, as we experience your goodness in the gospel and your power that comes through the gospel, or that we would seek to be conduits to those around us and demonstrate who Christ is to them through our words, through sharing our resources, through serving, so that they may enter into a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, so that they may experience peace, exhibit trust and praise, even in the midst of fear and uncertainty. Lord, I pray you use your church to be a light in this time. Lord, that you would use the disaster relief team to help several of our neighbors. And Lord, help us to be mindful of the needs of others as well, that we may put Christ and the gospel on display. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.